Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
Jones Henderson, the daughter of Lyndall and Judy, is here to share with us. She has an MDiv and a DMin from Eastern, now Palmer, has been involved in a variety of pastoral ministry as well as chaplaincy. And very significantly, this is the place, the very place where God planted the seeds that led her to where she is. So it's kind of exciting to have her back. Come and share with us.
Good morning. There's a flood of emotions and feelings that are welling up inside of me as I stand before you today. Some of you may know me, and some of you do not. Some of you helped raise me. But as Pastor Kurt mentioned, I'm the daughter of Lyndall and Judy Jones, who've been members here at Emmanuel for over 50 years. And I was dedicated here as a baby, and I was baptized right here behind me, behind this wreath, when I was 9 years old. And growing up, I attended Sunday school and children ministry opportunities and VBS under the direction of Gloria Kesselring, who was our Christian education director. And I was very much involved in the youth group under the direction of Joe Stevens. And before Joe came, I actually was involved in the summer youth program that we had when we had John Villers leading that. Some of you are familiar with John as well. I participated in choristers under the direction of Bob McVeigh and handbell choir and adult choir under the direction of Judy Prater. And I was encouraged and supported by this, my church family, to be involved in leadership opportunities through Youth Leader Corps. Someone just mentioned to me Rob Ely this morning. Rob and Beth Ely were my leaders. And then also I was encouraged to be involved in the State Youth Committee, as well as church camps and mission trips hosted by the West Virginia Baptist Convention and Parkersburg Association. So all that to say, this has been my church family. This church has been instrumental in helping my parents to raise me and guide me in my walk of faith. And those of you who have helped my parents love and guide me along life's journey, I say thank you. Thank you for being faithful to God. And when I speak of my testimony, whoever I'm sharing it with, it always involves my church family, and also my extended family, and some of you are here today. So many of you have had an incredible impact in my discipleship journey, and I just want to encourage you today that your obedience to Christ makes a difference. You are a city on a hill, so thank you for continuing to let your light shine. So I stand before you today to share with you about a new ministry to which God has called me. But before I get into the details of this new ministry, I want to back up and share with you about my call. Emmanuel was not only instrumental in my discipleship, but also incredibly supportive of my call. For those of you who are sensing a call into ministry or missions of some kind, I pray that this is an encouragement to you. And also for those who are serving in leadership roles and teaching roles, may you be reminded and encouraged that God is using you and you make a difference. I stand before you today as one who's been impacted by that. I was young when I first sensed the call to full-time Christian ministry. I would sit in children's church with Gloria Kesselring and spend time with her at retreats and events and even witnessed her ordination. She demonstrated so much love to us through everything that we did. She helped us and encouraged us in our faith, encouraged us to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And Gloria's obedience to Christ to serve and minister helped to open my awareness that I too could serve, especially as a woman in ministry. As I grew in my faith and became more aware of the needs of the world and listened to the many missionaries that came through our church to share about their ministry, God was cultivating a deep desire and longing within my heart to serve God with my whole life. One Sunday morning here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, when I was only probably around 12 years old, I'm not quite sure, I don't exactly remember the age, but we had several Sunday school classes that joined together for some reason in the chapel back here. And it may be because we were missing some Sunday school teachers, or maybe it was planned, I'm not sure. I don't remember all the details of the day, but I do distinctly remember a few, and that was that Randy Halterman was leading our combined classes, and at some point he asked a question of all of us. What would you like to be when you grow up? And I don't know if it was part of the lesson or if he was just trying to break the ice a little bit to help us to get to share with each other and warm up, but I do remember that I didn't raise my hand, but he called on me anyway, and he asked me directly that question. And it was the first time that I vocalized and publicly shared God's call in my life that I wanted to be a missionary. It was a day that I will never forget, because once the words come out and people hear you, you know it's been heard. God affirmed my call in many ways after that, but one specific time that I remember clearly was when I was 14 years old, and our youth group attended a fall youth rally at Alderson Broaddus College, and we were standing in line in the middle of the courtyard for lunch that day in a long line, and they were passing out these flyers. And I received this flyer about this upcoming mission trip that next summer that was going to be to Rainbow Acres in Arizona. And as soon as I saw it, my heart raced, and I declared to my friends that were around me that I was going to go. And they drew my attention to the cost of the trip, which didn't deter me for one second, because I knew God was calling me to do this. And so, long story short, the church helped me and two other youth to raise the money for the trip, for that trip. And it was one of many that I would take over the next several years. God gave me a passion and desire to serve him without any concern of the obstacles in the way, and I knew that if it was God's will, then he would provide. He always does, and he always will. There are many times that God has affirmed and reaffirmed my call over the years, and even as recent as this summer, when my family and I were attending a camp with our church family in Ohio, and a woman who had spoken that morning was praying over me. She didn't know me, she didn't know my call to missions, and in the prayer she mentioned God's call on my life. Only God can do that, and clearly communicate that kind of clarity and affirmation. In addition to the mission trips that I participated in throughout the years, God continued to pave the way for me to serve him through other events in my life. While a senior in high school, I met a foreign exchange student from Japan who was attending our high school. Kazuo seemed kind of shy and lonely, and my personality, and just because of my desire to help other people feel as welcomed as I was in the body of Christ, I reached out to her, and we invited her to our home for a meal, and the two of us quickly became friends. And I learned during that time that she was having a really difficult time in the home where she was staying for her year, and really she was even tearful about it and really struggling with it. We quickly learned through the Steele family, our friends here at Emmanuel, who were hosting a student from Japan, that the International Student Organization who placed Kazuo was looking for a new homestay for her. They wanted to replace her. And we were asked if we knew of anyone who could host her. Well, we began to talk about the possibility of hosting her in our own home. My sister Krista was away at college, her third year, and we could use her room to give to Kazuo, to give her a space to live with us. I think my mother will always feel bad for the fact that we put a bed in the laundry room for my sister for when she came to visit, but my sister made do, and she welcomed Kazuo into the family as well, but I quickly received another sister, and we did almost everything together. Jeremy kept her laughing, And she was always here with me at church, and really, I know some of you even know her. But we provided Christian hospitality and friendship to her. And she's returned many times to visit. I have visited her in Japan. But I always thought that I would head to a third world country for this call that I had of missions. I'd go to a third world country where they were struggling and poverty and needing physical help and things like that. But my experience with my Japanese sister really opened my eyes to the spiritual needs in other parts of the world. When I went to college at Alderson Broaddus, I had more opportunities to minister to Japanese students and grow in cross-cultural awareness. Shortly after college graduation, I headed to Japan to serve as a volunteer missionary for 6 months with International Ministries through American Baptist Churches, USA. Some of you know Leslie and David Turley, missionaries to Japan from West Virginia. They, along with Mike Williams, who was our Minister of Mission Support in the region, were really instrumental in paving the way for my time in Japan. While in Japan, I worked with all ages, everything from preschoolers all the way up to elders. I had so many different opportunities to serve and share God's love within this unreached nation where there are less than 1% of the population who are Christian. One of the main highlights of my time in Japan was working with young adults, many of them around the same age as me. So many of them spoke English and were excited about practicing their English with me, and therefore doors were open to share about my faith as well. But among this group of young adults, I actually worked with several young adults who had become Christian while studying in the U.S., either as a foreign exchange student or an international student, as a college student. Although their stories were different, their struggles to stay strong in their faith since re-entering their country and culture was very, very similar. It wasn't easy for them to make the transition. It was incredibly difficult. I was so glad God gave me the opportunity to encourage them and disciple them while I was there. While in Japan, I received my next assignment, which was to go to seminary to become more equipped for the next part of my journey. I attended Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is now Palmer. But over the years since my first call, I've been involved in ministry of many different kinds. Chaplaincy to elders when we lived in Colorado, pastoring a small local congregation in Ohio where we live right now, teaching English as a second language. I've done nursery children and youth ministry and much more. I also had the opportunity to provide support to our international missionaries through my employment at International Ministries of the American Baptist Churches USA and Valley Forge. During this time, I hosted many missionaries, international partners, college students, church groups, Bible study groups, and coworkers in my home. And some of you know that I have experienced great heartache in my life, and I live as a single mom raising my three children. And I have questioned many times when and how, if God still wants to use me in missions, when there seems to be so many obstacles in the way. And I've tried to bloom where planted, but sometimes I've been so overwhelmed by everyday responsibilities as a mom that I forget my call. And then there's other times that I find myself so overwhelmed with God's grace and faithfulness for providing opportunities to love and share and serve. I look back over my life and I see ways that God has used me, and I see how God is weaving together this tapestry of my life that God is still using and will continue to use. Therefore, even though my heart's desire has always been to leave the shores of this country, even though I know my mother would prefer that I stay here, I know God is working in and through me. But not only that, but I'm really excited to share with you today that he has opened up the doors for me to work and serve as a missionary, an international ministry to international students right here in the United States through an organization called International Friendships Incorporated, which is IFI for short, and that's what you'll hear me referring it to. One of the international students actually said, you know, it's wrongly named. It shouldn't be International Friendships Incorporated. It should be International Family, because that is what they feel and they sense when they are welcomed by our IFI community. IFI takes seriously the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and that's in your bulletins if you want to follow along with me. I'm going to start with verse 18. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus gave this commandment over 2,000 years ago, yet over 40% of the nations are still unreached. Unreached people groups are those groups of people that have less than 2% of the population who identify themselves as Christian. IFI recognizes that we have this unique opportunity to make disciples of all nations right here in the U.S., because the nations are actually coming to us. There are 1.3 million international students on American campuses that come from all over the world. The majority of these students are coming from unreached people groups around the world. International Friendships Incorporated works strategically to make the world feel at home and extend God's love globally right where we are. When international students, whether they're undergraduate, graduate, or postgraduate, they begin their journey to come to the U.S. either on their own, with a spouse, or maybe a spouse and children. But many of them are filled with great anticipation, high hopes, excitement, and some uncertainties. But imagine saying goodbye to your family and culture of familiarity and traveling to another country with few suitcases in hand to live in a foreign place with people you don't know for an extended period of time, anywhere from 2, 4, 6, or 8 years. You don't know who will meet you at the airport, what kind of place you will be living in, and how you will be received, with kindness or animosity. When international students arrive on U.S. soil, some sooner than later experience loneliness, culture shock, confusion, homesickness, and even begin to ask deep questions on their purpose in life. Our family experienced that when we hosted Kazoe. The mission of IFI is to extend life-changing hospitality and friendship to international students out of reverence for Jesus. We provide hospitality and friendship through a multiple of ways, welcoming students into our hearts and our homes. We provide friendship, rides to and from the airport, opportunities to practice their English by being a conversation partner, help with move-in and out of apartments and dorms, and help to find furniture when needed, or even apartments when needed. We provide rides to and from the grocery store, host Bible studies and discussion groups, provide opportunities for sightseeing or experiencing some of U.S. culture, and we open our homes for meals and even overnight stays during the holidays or when dorms are empty or apartments aren't ready yet. One example of an international student who has received this kind of life-changing friendship and hospitality is a student named Juan. Juan left his home country of Argentina to study a PhD in theoretical mathematics in Columbus, Ohio. He experienced the kindness of Jesus when an IFI staff member picked him up from the airport, drove him to his temporary housing, and later helped him furnish the apartment he found. Juan attended the IFI welcome picnic, and he continued to meet new friends throughout the year as he began regularly attending an IFI Bible discussion group. One night when he was sick with COVID, several of those IFI friends brought him food and a meaningful gift. Though an atheist at the time, Juan remembers thinking, "If God truly exists, He is manifesting his enormous love through these amazing friends." Juan eventually decided to receive God's love and start following Jesus. And this is only one of the countless international students who have been impacted through the hospitality ministry of IFI. As disciples of Jesus, we too are to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ with the nations. We have neighbors and co-workers and fellow students and friends who need to hear about the hope-filled and life-saving message of Jesus Christ. All need to hear the message, even those here in the U.S. And I bet that some of those that you know might even be from another country around the world. Remember that when we provide hospitality to others, we are also doing it for Jesus. We read in Matthew 25, 35 to 40, when Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Sharing God's love begins with friendship and hospitality. This is something that every single one of us can do. With IFI, we are strategic about making this happen by setting up ministry leaders and campus ministers in cities where we have colleges and universities. We are growing and expanding all the time. We are on 45 campuses currently, in 35 cities, and in 15 states. We have 156 churches involved and over 1,200 volunteers who are helping to provide hospitality and friendship. And over 5,000 students, international students, have been served so far. I have been called to launch a new ministry location in Tiffin, Ohio, where we have approximately 300 international students studying at Heidelberg University and Tiffin University, and they come from over 35 different countries. Some of you know Heidelberg University is actually the university where my daughter is a student. She's a sophomore. And it's about 35 miles from our home. And so I've already made some wonderful connections through my daughter with church members and pastors in Tiffin. My role will be launching this new ministry location, and I'm going to begin to foster relationships with campus staff and organizations so that IFI can gain access to the campus and have credibility as a great partner that can work with them, with the international student population on these campuses. I will also begin to establish more partnerships with local churches in Tiffin, sharing the mission with them, and mobilizing volunteers to help with IFI activities, such as airport pickup, holiday hosting, international student events, conversation partnerships, Bible studies, discussion groups, cultural experiences, and so much more. I will also begin to engage with international students by having activities and events, hosting Bible study, providing discipleship to students, those to students who have made a step of faith to be a follower of Jesus, or maybe those who have already are Christian but just need to be mentored and guided in the faith. In addition to the ministry of hospitality and friendship, IFI has this greater vision, which is to see God's love extended globally in partnership with spiritually vibrant international students. We provide discipleship to international students who have made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus, and then international students who have been discipled are more equipped to go home and take the gospel to their own families and people groups. So the majority of the 1.3 million international students on American campuses are coming from those unreached people groups around the world, and most of them will be returning to their own countries. Therefore, we can reach these unreached people groups through spiritually vibrant students, through their own people who are returning to their own homes, to their own people. And we provide discipleship as well as resources for reentry into their own country. And we keep in touch with them, and they have gone when they go back home. We continue to encourage them and disciple them as they share the gospel with their families and people groups. One example of extending God's love globally through spiritually vibrant international students is a man named Yasir. He was raised Muslim, but then he fled war-torn Sudan as a refugee to the U.S. after becoming a follower of Jesus. Because of his experience, he decided to study for a master's in social work in Ohio, hoping to serve refugees eventually here in the U.S. However, during his discipleship journey with IFI, Yasir counted the cost and decided to return to his home country despite the threat of persecution and death. He became a missionary to his own people. Since his return to Sudan, Yasir has actively ministered to refugees, has helped to plant multiple house churches, started a school for girls as well as a medical center, and is helping to oversee the discipleship of many believers. This is amazing. And this is just one example of how God is using students to reach their own people. We have international students who have been touched by IFI and discipled and sent off that are in places all over the world. And it is exciting to see. And they can do this without language training and the expense of relocating and uprooting their families to move to another country because they are going back home. This is God's kingdom work. God has truly provided a unique opportunity for us to make disciples of all nations through this ministry with international students. I'm truly excited to be a part of this ministry to make an impact in the lives of international students and throughout the world because I have been called into missions and would love to go overseas. I'm excited because I can't leave the shores of this country right now. I still need to be here to care for my family, my kids. But God has opened up the doors for me to minister to international students right here. And I encourage you, because you can be a part of this as well. I can't do it alone, and I need a team of people who are willing to commit to praying for me and my family in this ministry, as well as provide financially for the ministry and my support so that I can give the time needed for this ministry. Although I am already starting to make connections in TIFIN, I have to wait until I reach 100% of my financial support needed before engaging fully in this ministry. And I'd love to share more with you for those who are interested or have questions. I encourage you to pray about it. I have a table display out in the narthex, and we'll also be around after the service and during the lunch and can answer any questions or share with you some more. But most importantly, I leave you with an invitation to join me, but also, most importantly, I leave you with an invitation that we need to respond to, that God has given us. And it's actually not an invitation, it's a command. Go and make disciples of all nations. I encourage you to pray about one person to whom you can reach through the life-changing gift of friendship and hospitality. We can all make a difference, one person at a time, and it doesn't have to be an international student. And it doesn't have to be in our own home. I know so many people are like, well, I can't have anybody in my home. It's not nice enough, or I can't do this, or I don't know how to. But it doesn't have to be in our own home. Ask God to direct you who, when, how. Remember that when our Savior came to this earth as a baby, he was very much dependent on the friendship and hospitality of others. He left the glory of heaven to live among us, love us, show us the way, and ultimately die for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Let's share this good news with others. We don't have to have the right words. Moses didn't, and he led a nation out of slavery. We don't have to have a big house. Mary didn't, and she carried the Savior of the world. We don't have to feel comfortable. We just have to be obedient and willing. Let God take care of the rest. There are a lot of people experiencing loneliness and hopelessness. Let us be a friend and share the source of our hope with others.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.